Good morning and welcome to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Alcorn Auto Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes. And the program is being paid for by Davidson Advertising and Alan Shoes. This is show number 39, and today is Saturday, January 30th, 2021.
And hello, my name's Alan McCloskey. My wife Annette and I own and operate Alan Shoes in Tucson. As host of this show, Rob and I are committed to serving you, our listening audience, with ideas, strategies, and techniques for building, marketing, or improving your business. We created this show to try to help the efforts of small business owners to recover from the impact of the pandemic. Through all of our shows, we've been discussing the latest news. On most shows, we interviewed leaders in the community that have shared with you their experience, their knowledge, and some have shared their stories of struggles and success.
Our guest today is restaurateur Daniel Scordato, owner of Vivace's, Scordato's Pizzeria, and Posto Sano. Daniel will be with us a little later, and he's got a lot of information for us, Alan. So it should be a good show.
I believe so, Rob. We've got a jam-packed show today, but first let's review the pressing issues for business right now, Rob, and they are four C's that our crack team of journalists came up with from the Moderate Broadcasting Group. The four C's are capital, change, clientele, and clock. And issue number one, capital and funding. Well, examples are funding of the PPP loan, if you're a business person, I'm sure you've heard about that. But there's also the EIDL loan that if you didn't max out or if they allow more funding for, you should look into the SBA's EIDL, the Economic Injury Disaster Loans. And then there's also the Employee Retention Tax Credit that would provide funding that you wouldn't have to pay back. We could talk a little bit about that. And there's also Market Street Lending on my list here. And there's also your Uncle Arthur and your Aunt Minnie. They might be able to help you too, Rob. What do you think about those two sources?
Well, Alan, you know, whenever you have to go to family, it can be a tough situation. So I think that's probably the last place you might want to go. But, you know, there's other programs, too, that we've been wanting to talk about, and I hope in the future we can get someone from the YWCA. They've got some programs to help local businesses. The city does as well. So there's lots of help out there for people if they really want it.
I agree with you, Rob. That YWCA program is pretty interesting. They receive some grants, and I think they've distributed them all, but they might be a good resource for you for ideas, and they might be used in the future if there's additional capital that the city or county or state come up with. And the YWCA has been serving as the conduit, and they've got a pretty good program. But the second C on my list here is change, and that is changing your strategies and techniques, your strategy and tactics for steering your business in the future, and that might include marketing changes, sales initiative changes, personnel directives that you might change. The sub-issue of that is changing your business where it's applicable, because maybe where you're getting your sales and where you're getting your customers, Rob, are different as we come out of this pandemic. Have you heard that from some of your clientele?
Absolutely, Alan. You know, and getting through the pandemic, you know, people's habits have changed. People are home more. So it's to try to reach people, you have to use different tactics as far as marketing goes, because, you know, everybody's kind of sheltering place a little bit. They're trying to stay away from crowds. So there's a lot of options out there for people, and they have to really got to fine-tune what you're doing out there to make sure everything you're doing is properly, you know, is working for your, you know, for your business. It's a difficult situation.
The third C that I had on my list here, Rob, was clientele. And by that, I'm really thinking about customer traffic. And who is your customer? Who will be your customer? How do you get them in the door? Because for some of us, not everyone, our customer traffic count is severely diminished as a result of the pandemic. And some of us are wondering if we're ever going to get back that traffic that we used to enjoy that pre-pandemic. We also thought that was a little bit lower than it should have been.
Well, you know, with the vaccines coming out, Alan, I think that's going to be a positive. I think the more people get them, the more comfortable they're going to feel going out and shopping again. I know that a lot of your customers are the older age group folks, and they're getting their shots now. It's not so easy. I don't know if you and Annette have tried to register yet, but it's a pretty cumbersome task to get on the list. Once you do, you know, you're in pretty good shape, but it's not going easily. I guess that's the best way I can say it.
Yeah, I think I have an idea what group I'm in, but I don't even think that the prior group is being served well. So, but we're going to start focusing on getting ourselves the vaccine, Rob. And the fourth C here is clock. And that has to do a little bit with the vaccine and getting past the pandemic. And we can't get past it until we get enough vaccine out there. And, you know, between the two shows here, just before our show, there was a news article that they were reading about the CDC coming out with some guidance for wearing masks. And I was surprised that immediately thereafter, we didn't have a president who tried to counterman that order. It's almost as if that Biden really wants us to get past this pandemic.
Well, it certainly seems to be what he's trying to do, Alan. It's the number one focus. And, you know, when I talk to my clients and friends, that's the number one thing on their list. We have to get this thing under control, and then we can get back. And President Biden and his team are trying to do that. And we're just going to hope for the best that they can, because if they do, we're all going to be successful. And if they don't, we're all going to suffer.
Well, talking about suffering and talking about change and things that need to happen, let's talk about possible changes that Arizona government is involved with. Rob, I think you have an article there that you pulled out about Arizona and some of the things that are happening in Arizona. They don't all have to do about the pandemic. They may have to do with some legal changes that our business people should be aware of.
Well, absolutely, Alan. Legal sales of recreational marijuana in Arizona started last week, a once unthinkable step in the former conservative stronghold that joins 14 other states that have broadly legalized pot. The State Health Services Department announced that it approved 86 licenses in 9 of the state's 15 counties under provisions of the marijuana legalization measure passed last November. Most under the terms of Proposition 207, people 21 and older can grow their own plants and legally possess up to an ounce of marijuana or a smaller quantity of concentrates such as hashish. Possession of between 1 and 2.5 ounces is a petty offense, carrying a maximum $300 fine. The tax implications on this are pretty huge, Alan. I think there's a 21 or 22% tax on it. The state's going to be taking in these monies, and it should help. So that's one of the things the state is doing. We're looking at these kinds of taxes.
I think there's another thing that might also help our treasury in the state of Arizona. You had another article about something that Doug Ducey mentioned in his State of the State address.
Yes, Governor Doug Ducey wants to open the door to allowing Arizonans to bet on or against the Diamondbacks, the Cardinals, the Wildcats, and the Sun Devils. He also wants to see wagering on fantasy leagues and even instant keno games, and the governor is even looking at allowing mobile devices to be used to place bets. All of this would be available off-reservation. Now he needs the Arizona legislature to go along and repeal the laws that now prohibit such gambling. In a document given to lawmakers, the governor said he has negotiated new compacts with Arizona tribes, which now gives them the exclusive right to operate casino-style wagering. Arizona has limits, though, and the deal, he said, will result in more revenue for the state, more money for the tribes, and it'll be win-win for everybody. Legalized sports gambling is allowed in several states now, Alan. Remember, it used to be only in Nevada, but that changed, I think, in 2018. There's 14 or 15 states now that allow it, and it looks like we're going to be next in line. So we'll see if the legislature can do that, as opposed to some of the other things they're working on right now, like changing the way we elect our president.
You know what? I think to move this along, you were talking about win-win. You've got another article that may not be a win-win. And I also think it's related to the gambling, because I think we're gambling with some of our business people. It has to do with what Democrats want to do regarding the minimum wage.
Yep. Looks like the Democrats want to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And that's going to be an interesting prospect, Alan. I know it'll affect a lot of businesses like yours, fast food, restaurants. It's something that could potentially be a problem. So we'll have to see. And, you know, the other side of the coin with the minimum wage is, you know, you can offer minimum wage. That doesn't mean people are going to be willing to work for it. So, you know, it just goes back to the market demand of, you know, supply and demand as far as employees go. So that's what they're looking for, and we'll see if it happens. even $15 an hour, though, when you think about it, they want a 40-hour work week with $15 an hour. That's $600 a week. I don't know about you guys, Alan, but I don't think we could live on $600 a week.
No, and I agree that we need to find a way over time for people to make some sort of wage that makes sense given the expenses they have. On the other hand, there needs to be some thought of how some of these businesses can afford to get there, because just because you raise the wage doesn't mean that that business's traffic or sales or revenues match in order to be able to keep enough staff in the stores. I mean, already you walk into stores, usually the bigger stores, and you're not sure that there is any employees in that store when we have to figure out how the small business owner can survive, so that we can afford to pay a higher wage to some people. And then we have to figure out how we accommodate the people just entering the workforce. Do they get the same wage? Is that fair? Is that not fair? And we have to discuss all that, Rob.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. Like a lot of young people, they work in fast food. That's where they get their first start. Well, unfortunately, right now, a lot of people our age, Alan, are working in fast food because they have to. So there's going to be a lot of things that are going to have to shake out on this. We'll see how it goes.
But you're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOI, 10:30 a.m., The Voice. Go ahead and say happy birthday, Rob.
Happy birthday, Alan. Why?
Well, it's not me, but it's my sister Anne's birthday today. And today also would have been my mother's 99th birthday. Last week was my sister Kim's birthday. Our show is produced by the Moderate Broadcasting Group. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. If you know of a long-term Tucson business that should be highlighted by us, please call Rob and tell him about that business. Please come back after our commercial break.
Talon Shoes has become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Allen Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Wolke, Propre, and many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selection of wide widths is the best in the area. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff and a vast inventory of sizes and widths, is the Allen Shoes promise. Our new store hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowandDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowandDoor.com or call 298-DOOR, 298-DOOR, ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
Need a plumber? Call Al Coronado Plumbing. Featuring our five crown service. We charge by the job, not the hour. There are never any unpleasant surprises. As everyone knows, emergencies happen at the worst time. That's why we answer our phones 24/7. And at Al Coronado Plumbing, there's never an overtime charge. You pay the same regardless of when we do the work.
Al Coronado Plumbing, the name you come to trust. Our five-pound service keeps things running.
Our work is guaranteed up to 5 years. Call 323-7848.
Al Coronado Plumbing, our five-pound service.
Call 323-7848. ROC number 289733.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes.
And I'm Alan McLofty, owner of Alan Shoes.
And our special guest today is Daniel Scordato, owner of Vivace Scordato's Pizzeria in Posto Sano. Daniel was born in Paterson, New Jersey, and he was born into the restaurant business. The Scordato family restaurant opened in 1947 and relocated to Tucson in 1972. At age 14, he began working in the restaurant, helping out his dad and learning how to make Italian cuisine. He then went to Italy to apprentice under great chef Giovanni Bugliotti to learn true Italian cooking. In 1984, he opened his first restaurant called Daniel's. He often visited great chef Andre Saltner at the Lutesi in New York City, and it was Chef Saltner who recommended Chef Daniel to the great chef's television folks. In 1993, he started his new venture, Vivace, also in Tucson. 7 years later, in February of 2000, great chefs showed up to tape him for their Discovery Channel series, Great Chefs of America. In 2009, Chef Scordato opened Scordato's Pizzeria, and in early 2014, he moved Vivace to a larger location where he continues to modify the Italian techniques and cooking procedures without changing the ingredients, keeping the integrity of the Italian dishes. Daniel, welcome to Back to Business. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. Honor to be on your show.
That's great. We're really happy to have you, Daniel. You guys have been in the restaurant business for many years. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your family's history, Daniel?
Well, my father started out at 16 as a janitor in a restaurant called the Hawaiian Paradise in Paterson, New Jersey, and worked his way up to a general manager. His brothers cooked while they were just kids and learned how to cook under a famous chef in Paterson. He wasn't, you know, national famous, but in Paterson, known for having great Italian food. And eventually he saved money and opened up a small little restaurant for $10,000 he borrowed from a loan shark and and opened up Scordato's in Paterson, and then opened to a bigger one. And then 63, with my asthma being very bad, doctors told him move west. So we came out here to Duncan, Arizona. And we were neighbors of Sandra Day O'Connor's family for a while. And but there was no future there for us kids. You know, my mother said, we got to go to a bigger city. So we found Tucson. And then my dad had a Tucson Rolling snack bar business, if people remember, in the late 60s with little catering trucks, a little different than the food trucks now. They're more like mini Circle K's that would go around to places before fast food got big. And we got out of that when we were all old enough to cook and opened up Scordato's in 72. And that's when the thing started. And I fell in love with the business.
Remember Scordato's well out there on West Speedway, right?
Yes, uh-huh. And my brothers and I cooked in the kitchen. My father, my sister played the piano, and my father ran the dining room. And then I moved out in the dining room, so he didn't have to. He wanted to retire soon, so I learned the business of, you know, running the floor and still keeping in touch with the kitchen. So it's good to know everything about a restaurant. It's this way. I understand the floor, you know, the dining room staff. I understand the kitchen. So whenever there's controversy between the two, I usually can do it knowing both sides instead of saying, you know, it's always the kitchen against the floor. So it's nice to have a even perspective on both of them. So it's helped me a lot.
What is your what is your perception of the industry right now, Daniel, in Tucson? What are you seeing?
You know, it's really, really hard. I know what a lot of people don't realize is restaurants work on very small margins. They all think, oh, well, look, I see a bottle of wine. You sell way more than the grocery store. Well, it's a pretty big difference. You know, a grocery stores work on small margins, but they have very low overhead compared to a restaurant. So we have to mark them up that much. But it's the average restaurant, I believe, is a little over 4% profit margins. When you see business go down, ours went down 29%. what happens is your profit will fall. You know, our profit fell 150%. So we went in negative territory, like most restaurants. You need those sales to keep up, because you have to have, you know, one bartender serves 150 people, but then when they're serving 75, you know, your it cuts into your margin. Same with kitchen staff. It doesn't, you know, the labor doesn't go down same percentage as sales. So, you know, your rent stays the same, electric bills stay the same. So it just really hurt us all very, very hard. Some restaurants, unfortunately, just, you know, couldn't keep going. We were lucky with our PPP money. It saved us. You know, we would have been out back last spring if we didn't have that money. But now we're looking for our second round, and we don't know what the future is going to be like. A lot of industry experts think that the dining rooms are going to stay somewhat the same. I don't think people are going to accept, you know, 100% capacity, because they know that even, you know, other diseases, you know, the flu and that can be caused by being closed. So a lot of I don't think it'll ever be the same exactly. So we're all worried about that. And what are we going to do? How are we going to make up for that? Do we have to raise prices, cut our quality? Something will have to be, because we can't go on. Plus, with the, I heard you talking about the, you know, the minimum wage increase.
Right.
Our biggest problem with minimum wage, we pay everyone $15 right now, but everyone is getting $15 because we have them work very hard. Now, to get good people, I'm going to have to pay $18 or so. So everything's going to go up, you know. And also, they want to eliminate the tip credit on waiters. Well, the waiters make most of their money through tips. What's going to happen if they're making $15 plus, you know, all their money in tips? It's going to not be fair for the kitchen. Now they'll be making double the amount of the kitchen staff. So it's going to be, I don't understand why they don't just say, you know, make sure the waiters make a certain amount, you know, say they make $18 an hour with tips. But I don't know why they won't allow us to use that tip part as part of their wage. It doesn't seem to make any sense.
Why don't you explain to our listeners what the tip credit is, Daniel?
Oh, the tip credit is, like, right now the waiters don't have to pay. We don't have to pay them the full wage. So right now the waiters get $8 an hour, and minimum wage, I believe, is $10.50 right now. It might be $11. So what it is they're saying, well, as long as with their tips they make the minimum wage, which makes sense. And very, very few, you know, they might cite, I think maybe 2 or 3% may not make that. I can't believe anyone working as a waiter would work under those conditions, because that would mean making, you know, a few dollars, you know, an hour in tips. I don't know of any place that ever, I've never run into anyone that doesn't make that much in tips. So this, when it goes to 15, the waiters will have to make the same $15 an hour plus their tips. And I don't know what they were thinking. And the restaurant industry is like trying to tell them, look, they make tips. They make good money in tips. And that's how they've always made their money. And even when it was $2 an hour, they would make more than most of the cooks. So I understand it going up some, but to go up to exactly the same as the kitchen crew would be kind of disastrous for us.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Daniel, we're coming up on our hard break for the news. Would you stay with us for a few more minutes? We have a lot more questions to answer for ask you. So we're really happy to have you with us this morning. Alan, you want to go
my
forward?
My pleasure.
Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising, 629-9555. You're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KVOI, 1030 a.m., The Voice. In the next segment, we'll have Daniel Scordato continue to be on our show. I've got a few questions for him, and we'll be right back after our commercial break and the news.
For over 37 years, Allen's Shoes has become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Allen's Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Wolke, Propay, and many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selection of wide widths is the best in the area. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff, and a vast inventory of sizes and widths is the Allen Shoes promise. Our new store hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowAndDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowAndDoor.com or call 298-DOOR, 298-DOOR, ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and southern Arizona since 1947. Go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
Water is the essence of life. Doesn't your family deserve the best? Give your family the best with the drinking water system from WaterTech. Our systems will provide you and your family with clean, healthy water, up to 25 gallons per day. A soft water system from WaterTech will help protect your plumbing, fixtures, will eliminate hard water minerals, and make your dishes and glasses sparkle. Give your family the gift of water from WaterTech.
WaterTech.
Providing service after the sale.
Since 1967.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner-operator of Alan Shoes. And Rob, we have a couple of, well, I guess we might not call them favorite Republicans, but they've been on our show featured in articles. One of them is Kelly Ward, and the other one is Andy Biggs, if you might remember. But what's the latest on Kelly Ward, Rob?
Well, interestingly enough, Alan, the Arizona Republican Party is rebuffing demands from some of its activists to audit the procedures and results of its own election for chair and other positions, according to an email sent last Thursday by party members. During a radio interview yesterday with KFYI in Phoenix, James T. Harris, Kelly Ward, who was reelected party chair Saturday at a state party meeting, said the Arizona GOP lacked the structure to perform an audit, but said she welcomed input to improve elections. Ward praised the party's election process, saying, "We had no complaints from anyone, from any state committeemen or those carrying proxy votes. The party used paper ballots and machines from Gila County to run the race. Everything was above board," she said. Sergio Arellano, a Southern Arizona businessman who lost to the incumbent Ward in the runoff to preside as chair for the next 2 years, had joined other GOP members to allow for a hand count audit and a recount of all the ballots days after his loss. He did not expect a review of the election to overturn Ward's win. Ward, who gained national attention during her two unsuccessful bids for the U.S. Senate and as a promoter of former President Donald Trump's unfounded claims of election fraud, won Saturday's election by 42 votes, according to information provided by state party officials. Questions arose this week about the results of the chair's race after the wrong winner of another party race was announced. So interesting, Alan. Do as I say, not as I do.
Well, listen, I think we should also pivot a little bit. Wasn't there something, maybe you can paraphrase, Rob, that you and I were discussing where the GOP was trying to change the rules so that the state legislature could change the electors for the presidential election in the future? Did you read something about that?
I did, Alan. There's been a big push this week by the Arizona legislature to make a lot of changes to our election procedures, and one of them was to ultimately allow the legislature to choose the electors if they don't like who the people vote for. So that's one of the things they're going to be talking about, with all kinds of different things as far as mail-in ballots. One of the ideas was that all mail-in ballots would have to be notarized on the signatures, which would make it very difficult for people. They don't like the mail-in ballots because they're afraid that there's not enough scrutiny of those. And I have to tell you, Alan, my own experience a couple of years ago after I mailed my ballot in, I got a call from the Pima County Recorder's Office because my signature 20 years ago did not match my signature today. And they asked me if I would sign a new form and send it back to them, which I did, and now everything is fine. So, you know, people are scrutinizing these things. I was quite impressed by that, and I think our Pima County Recorder's done an excellent job. F. Ann Rodriguez, who just left office, did a fantastic job with this, and I don't have any problems with the way we handle elections.
You know, we've been doing mail-in voting in this state for a long time. There's a high penetration of it. People are generally, more than generally, overwhelmingly in support of that. And for the legislature to think that they know better than the votes, how they're tallied, that's a little shocking to me. But let's pivot, maybe skip the other article till next week, but because I think we have a new segment we want to introduce here, and we're calling it What Were They Thinking? In this segment, Rob will read a story one of us found on the Internet. That's my job next, to simply say, what were they thinking? And then it's Rob's job to explain as best he can what the person who I might feel has critical thinking deficiencies, what were they actually thinking? In other words, Rob is going to attempt, and often failing, at making sense of this for all of us. So the first one, Rob, that you have to read is something about a guy and his face.
Alan, the headline here says, man turns himself into black alien by removing nose and top lip. This wannabe alien has a face only a mother could love. Anthony Lafredo, a 32-year-old Frenchman who wants to be a black alien, has gotten his nose removed in Spain, where it is legal to do so. He also had his upper lip cut off and covered his entire body, including his eyeballs, in tattoos as part of his black alien project. And in a reptilian twist, Lafredo also had his tongue split. Speaking about his latest transformation, he did not reveal when he had the creative work done or by whom, but said he now struggles to speak after the lip removal operation.
So, Rob, what was he thinking?
I don't know, Alan. I'm looking at this picture of this guy, and I don't even know if his mother could love this picture, so it's really, really quite striking. It's too bad this is radio and you can't see this, folks, because it's really amazing. And we're not making this up. This is true.
I've seen it. It's not pleasant. Let's move on to the next one, Rob. Something about a doctor that we were getting advice from that was part of the past administration that had some comments this week for the press. And what can you tell us about her?
Dr. Deborah Birx had some comments for the press. Deborah Birx, the headline says some Donald Trump White House staff believed COVID was a hoax. Dr. Deborah Birx has said there were some staff in former President Donald Trump's White House believed it was a hoax. In an interview with CBS Face the Nation, she spoke about the challenges she faced while working with the Trump White House. There were people who definitely believed this was a hoax, she said. She told that to Margaret Brennan. Pressed on why, Birx said, I think because the information was confusing at the beginning. I think because we didn't talk about the spectrum of disease. They saw people get COVID and be fine. And then they had us talking about how severe the disease is and how it could cause these unbelievable fatalities of our American public. Birx says she took her messaging on the road to avoid being censored because of this. So, interesting, interesting, interesting.
So what do you think the people were thinking that were trying to censor the doctor?
Well, obviously, you know, they didn't want it to be out there that this was such a big problem. You know, it's like they're afraid, Alan, that we couldn't take bad news.
Well, we're going to move on to our third What Were We Thinking segment, and it has to do with a congresswoman from Georgia, I believe. And what do you have on her?
Oh, gosh, Alan. This one's interesting. Congresswoman says Rothschild-funded space lasers caused deadly California fire. Among the many posts being unearthed amid renewed scrutiny of Marjorie Taylor Greene's social media history is one in which the new congresswoman implicated Rothschild Incorporated in connection with a deadly forest fire that she wrote was started using laser beams from space. Greene, a freshman Republican from Georgia, made waves during the campaign for her promotion of QAnon conspiracy theories. She said, with a mix of evidence-free speculation as to what caused the 2018 campfire, which burned more than 150,000 acres and killed 85 people. In reality, the fire was determined to have been started by electrical wiring. In her post, Greene noted that Roger Kimmel, a board member of Pacific Gas and Electric, was also the vice chairman of Rothschild Incorporated. Greene also wrote that PG&E had invested in technology to beam solar energy from space down to Earth. She claimed in the post that the technology had caused the fire. Wow.
You know what? I don't think we even have time to comment on that one, and it wouldn't do any good.
It wouldn't.
And you, since you have the timer in front of you, you're going to have to see how many Putz nominees we can get to. But this is our Putz of the Week segment here, Rob. And give us a Putz to discuss and to see whether they're worth an election. What do you think? What's the first one you're going to talk about?
Well, today? The first one is married Texas police chief accused of cheating resigns after arrest. A Texas police chief accused of cheating on his wife with two women, neither of whom apparently knew about the other, resigned after he was arrested on suspicion of faking a marriage annulment he showed to one of the girlfriends. The city of Stinnett announced Chief Jason Collier's resignation effective immediately, according to a statement. Collier was arrested Thursday for investigation of tampering with a governmental record with intent to defraud. He allegedly sent a text message to the victim with a fraudulent government record attached. The document was a fraudulent marriage annulment. Texas Rangers launched a criminal investigation at the request of the county, and he is no longer police chief.
I think that's all we have time for today. Do you agree, Rob, and for the Putz of the Week nominees?
Well, we do have this one, Alan, where a gentleman was not very happy that his cheeseburger from McDonald's didn't have cheese on it, and he pulled a gun on the person at McDonald's, was arrested, and I sure hope they have cheese on the cheeseburgers in prison, Alan, because for some reason somebody messed with his Happy Meal.
I would say, though, that I think the Texas police chief, if you'll agree with me, Rob, gets our Putz of the Week award.
No question. No question. Feel sorry for his poor wife.
Well, it's not a good situation. And let's talk. Why don't you thank our guest, Rob?
I want to thank Daniel Scordato for being with us again today. Daniel owns Vivace, Scordato's Pizzeria in Post Asano. And folks, go and let's participate in our local businesses and restaurants. Let's do something good and shop local.
This has been Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KVOI 1030 AM The Voice, produced by the Moderate Broadcasting Group. This has been Alan McCloskey.
And Rob Davidson. Have a great week, everybody.